Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going to your calls live in just a few moments. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. One of the issues that has been so pressing over the last year is demonstrating that the Bible is divine as opposed to merely human in origin. Because according to critics, the notion that God has spoken, that the Bible is a credible repository of what He has said, does not stand up to the light of cold, hard facts. And you hear this from the highest office in the land to media pundits. You see it in popular books. And it's time that the Christian church had discernment skills. It's time that the Christian church was equipped to communicate not only what they believe, but why they believe what they believe. I left the broadcast Friday night. I went home and I turned on the O'Reilly Factor. And I was absolutely appalled at what I heard. They were interviewing various people. And there was a segment with O'Reilly and a guy named Bernie Goldberg, who's on the O'Reilly Factor quite a bit. And he started talking about the ignorance in the Bible, and this is precisely what he had to say.
Look, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible that people believe just because it's in the Bible. I understand that, but I get emails from people saying the earth is 6,000 years old. It is not. It's 4.5 billion years old, no matter what the Bible says, no matter what Jesus says, no matter what God says. It's 4.5 billion years old. So just because it's in the Bible, no, I don't respect people believing things that are ignorant just because there's ignorance in the Bible.
So what he's saying is that he doesn't respect people believing things that are ignorant. Number one, he happens to be ignorant himself with respect to what is in the Bible, because the Bible nowhere communicates that the universe is 6,000 years old. Furthermore, he is ignorant to suggest that if Jesus said it or God said it, he wouldn't care. Jesus is the one who spoke, and the limitless galaxies leapt into existence. He is the creator of 100 billion galaxies, each with 100 billion stars. And therefore, if Jesus said it, I would believe it. But nowhere, again, does the Bible suppose that the universe is 6,000 years old. Furthermore, I would say that his contention that there is ignorance in the Bible demonstrates that he has not read the Bible or doesn't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And for his part, Bill O'Reilly says that he is the guy that most protects the Judeo-Christian tradition in the whole of the world. And there you have Bernie Goldberg absolutely decimating the scripture, and he says nothing. When Bill O'Reilly says the spin stops here, I think he is quite deluded. This is spin. And when people say these kinds of things about the Word of God, we should learn how to answer those contentions with gentleness and with respect. But we should know how to answer those contentions, because if the Bible is not the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, if it is not divine as opposed to merely human in origin, we have no authority. If Bernie Goldberg is right, if in fact there is ignorance in the Bible, there is no hope for the Judeo-Christian tradition. The ultimate question has to be, what is your authority? And remember, as I demonstrate in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration, not only can you demonstrate that the Bible is divine, as opposed to merely human in origin, not blind faith, but faith in evidence, but you can answer an attendant question, if God has spoken, what has God said? And that involves the art and science of biblical interpretation. The problem with people like Bernie Goldberg is they're fundamentalists. They don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. And we shouldn't follow in their train. So often pop culture beckons and postmodern Christians take the bait. But we ought to do something decidedly different from that. Instead of being cultural imitators, we should be cultural initiators. We should set the table. And again, that takes being equipped. And this is one of the things that motivates us in the mission that God has called us to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and strengthened, to equip people to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within them. And again, do it with gentleness and with respect, but do not shirk the opportunity. Do not shirk the responsibility, because when people say things like this, you can use their objection to the Word of God as an opportunity to communicate something about the Word of God which they might not know and which could become the key to absolutely changing their lives. One more thing, and then we'll go to our callers. We're on day 23 of our journey to the heart of Christmas, and the thing I point out on day 23 is that just as there is a first advent, and that's what we're celebrating at Christmas, so too there is a daily advent. I talked about that yesterday. And then there is something else that we should never miss. It is something that should be foremost in our thoughts. There is a coming final advent. In other words, the first coming in flesh is a coming in flesh, just as the second coming is a coming in flesh. But this time, Jesus will not come as a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. He will not come as a babe lying in a manger. This time, he will come as a bridegroom carrying his bride over the threshold of Jordan into a new Jerusalem. The point is quite simply this: as Canaan provided temporal rest for the physical descendants of Abraham, so the coming Christ will provide eternal rest for his spiritual descendants. Again, all of that in day 23 of my book, The Heart of Christmas, The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can read it in one setting. There's also an audio version available. You can get it on the web at equip.org. Again, you can get it via mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI will go right to our phone calls. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. First up, George. He's in Binghamton, New York. Hi, George.
How you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're listening on DirecTV?
Yes.
Nice having you on the broadcast.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm kind of new to the show. I just caught it a couple of weeks ago, but I seem to have a struggle with, I've taken my wife. My wife is a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that denomination.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with it, yes.
Okay. I've taken her through the book of Hebrews, Galatians, Colossians, and I can't seem to make her understand, because they have this idea that the day you worship is the mark of the beast. They've taken eschatology and kind of weaved it in together with their whole doctrine of Christ to try to make it a works salvation type of movement. And I don't know if it's she can't see out of the view that she was taught, or is there something that I'm not showing her that she can't see, and maybe there's a better way for me to equip myself to be able to teach her.
Yeah. Well, I think what's important is to point out that the emphasis for the Sabbath is different in Genesis than it is in the Exodus. And it certainly is different in the New Testament, because as Hebrews points out, and I think you're right to take her to the book of Hebrews, it is in Jesus Christ that we have our Sabbath rest. So for the early Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. And I think that's the point that has to be emphasized. To go back to types and shadows, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, is, according to Hebrews, tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. Moreover, I would say this, if we are bent on going back to types and shadows, particularly to Sabbatarian laws, then you'd have to stone her to death for lighting a fire or starting the car on the Sabbath day, because that's igniting a fire, as it were, or tantamount to it. So the point is, we're not slavishly bound to Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws, which are fulfilled in Jesus Christ, nor should we ever fail to recognize that it is the resurrection that caused the early church to worship on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection. That's what we're celebrating. So it's not as though we've given up the fourth commandment. We're still working 6 days and resting the seventh in recognition that it is in Christ we have our Sabbath rest, but it's also in recognition that the singular pillar on which all of Christianity hinges is the resurrection, and that's what we are celebrating, and in that Christ rose on the first day of the week. That's why we're celebrating this the first day of the week.
Well, thank you. You definitely helped me there. I always try to go back to the, you know, why did Christ come and what did he fulfill? And I think that's where her system kind of starts to fall apart.
Well, and it's so important to recognize that there's not a difference in the covenants, in that the new covenant is only better than the old covenant, in that the blood of Jesus Christ is better than the blood of bulls and goats. But there's something else that I think, and you've alluded to this in the prologue to the question, there's something else that's worth saying, and that is in Colossians chapter 2, we have Paul saying, "Do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with respect to a religious festival, or a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ." Now, what's interesting about this verse is that you have a descending order. First, Paul mentions an annual festival, then a monthly festival, and finally a weekly festival, demonstrating that the Sabbath that he has in mind is the weekly Sabbath.
Well, thank you. I'll try to attempt this again, but it just seems to be a real struggle, because it's more of a view that was taught to her, and there's so many things to dismantle. It's just a long road, but it's worth fighting.
Well, yeah, and remember that sometimes you can pray rather than preach, which is to say, pray that God brings other people into her life, people and circumstances, so that she'll arrive at a new valuation of things.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
You got it, George. Thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to a station break in about a moment. I want to mention again that December is a critical month in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Every single year, it seems we're catching up in December. By God's grace, a lot of people have been very generous so far in December. We're halfway towards our goal, but we're close to the end of the month. So your generosity at this time of the year would be deeply appreciated, used for His glory and for the extension of His kingdom. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also give via the mail, Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Will be right back in just a few moments with answers to your questions live on this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Back with more answers in a moment.
With the year winding down, the Christian Research Institute faces a major funding gap that must be closed by December 31st that directly impacts this broadcast. And it's only through your generous support that it can be fully closed. So please help us continue being there for the hundreds of thousands like you who benefit from the Christian Research Institute each month. Please take a moment right now and visit equip.org. Equip.org. That's equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past decade, the Japanese comic books known as manga have gone from accounting for one-third of a $70 million graphic novel market to claiming almost two-thirds of what is now a $550 million industry. Learn how to engage with loved ones absorbed in manga with biblical truth. Other topics include what to say when your gay friend says, "I was born this way," Rendezvous with Death, C.S. Lewis on mortality and the afterlife, Breaking Bad's addicting defense of moral realism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you.
As we wind up this year, a funding gap remains that must be closed by year end if we're to continue bringing a biblical perspective to the issues of our day. CRI has no major funding source and relies on the generous support of Christians like you committed to standing for the truth. And that's why your help right now is vital. So please call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Let's hear more from your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. Get answers to life's toughest questions with my new daily e-truth. Sometimes it comes in the form of short videos, other times in written answers to questions delivered daily to your inbox. You can sign up for the free daily e-truth by going to the World Wide Web at equip.org/e-truth. That's equip.org/e-truth. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rod in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Rod.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? First time caller here.
Nice to talk to you.
I've got a question for you. Do we know the answer to this one? Why did God create all the universes?
Well, I don't think he created universes. In fact, the whole idea of a multiverse, I think, is completely ad hoc. But he certainly created a universe with hundreds of billions of galaxies and hundreds of billions of stars.
Okay. I've been going through the Bible, and I know that he is the Alpha and Omega, and he's the creator of everything. And I know that there's a reason why he created everything. And as far as all of the different galaxies, do we know the reasoning behind that?
Well, first of all, think about the fact that God is infinite. Infinite in wisdom, infinite in power. He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent. So if you think of the majesty of God, you would suspect that what he created would be majestic as well. If you think of irreducible complexity in biological systems, or you think about the sun, moon, and stars, you have, in essence, a reflection of the grandeur and the prowess of the God who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. So I think it is a reflection of the greatness of the God that we serve.
Okay. I'm a simple person.
Well, we're all simple people, but, you know, this is one of the things that I think ought to give everyone pause. So often when we talk about Jesus Christ, we speak about him in cavalier fashion. I was mentioning that with Bernie Goldberg when he was speaking on the O'Reilly Factor on Friday. They just use the name God or Jesus in a way as though their opinions know better than my opinion. But they fail to recognize that the evidence points to the fact that Jesus is God. And so he's not only the one who knit us together in our mother's wombs, but he's the one who was able to create all things by his power, and that ex nihilo, out of nothing. So it gives us a sense of reverence when we invoke the name of Jesus Christ. It causes awe. If Jesus Christ were to appear in the studio in the next millisecond, I can promise you one thing. I wouldn't simply glance at him in cavalier fashion. I would be prostrate before him. Again, I think this is one of the failures of our modern-day epic. We treat Jesus Christ as though he's nothing special, when in essence, nothing could be farther from the truth.
Oh, most definitely. I know that one of the things that really bothers me is comes Christmas time, nobody can get to me quicker than to say Merry Xmas.
Yeah.
And just at night being able to sit out and look at the stars, you know, and that question just popped in my head, and I really never even pondered it because just of the just like you said, I mean, because of the awe, you know, at everything that's around me. So I agree with you wholeheartedly with that. That we tend to, just from a technical standpoint, a lot of people will take the very nature that he gave us to discover and to process things because we're created in his image, and just to be able to have the thought process of being able to discover new things that he has already set out there in advance for us to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. Hey, thanks for calling, Rod.
Hey, thank you very much. And Hank, it was a pleasure speaking with you. And I hope you have a very Merry Christmas.
And you as well, dear friend. Thank you for calling. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Mike. He's listening in Fresno, California, KCIV. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well.
Good. Hank, my question is, I haven't read the whole Bible book. I'm almost completely through it. But as I recall, I can't find anywhere it says how old the earth is. Is there anywhere in the Bible I might miss where it says how old the earth is?
No. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you want to know the age of the universe, you're not going to find the answer in special revelation. If you want to answer the question, you have to look at general revelation. And, of course, Paul talks about general revelation in Romans where he says that God's eternal power and divine majesty are clearly seen through what has been made so that men are without excuse, which is echoing what David said in the Old Testament where he iterated that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. There's certainly lots of information to demonstrate that God created the universe and that the universe is an awesome thing, but there's nothing in the Bible that actually tells us the age of the universe. Again, that is left to general revelation.
Yeah, because one time my brother and I, just before we went out and started up our the worship band, we were kind of discussing that, and he said, you know, I think the earth's only been here probably 3,000 years. I go, no, I think it's been around a lot longer than that.
Well, I mean, if you just look at various things in general revelation, for example, you look at the night sky, and this is not inference, as sometimes you have to make with respect to biology. You look at the night sky, you can see a star in infancy. You can see a star in midlife. And then you can see a white dwarf star that's burned out its nuclear fusion. And you can estimate how long that takes, very much like one can estimate how many miles you go in a tank of gas. I actually have an indicator in my car. When I fill it up, it tells me how many miles I've got. And I know that when I've gone those miles, I'm going to have to fill up again. And this gives us a basic idea of how you can measure things. And we know the rate at which stars burn out their energy load, as it were. And so you can, on that basis, determine how long that star has been around before it became a white dwarf star. And that's, again, as you correctly say, not measured in thousands of years. It's measured in billions of years.
Yeah, I think the scientists have got a pretty good perception on that. What's really interesting, out of everything that I've read in the Bible, it's interesting that back in the days of Columbus, they weren't sure. Everybody thought the Earth was square, but if they had read in Hosea tells you that the Earth is round.
Well, yeah. And actually, the Earth doesn't really talk about sphericity. I mean, it could be like a disc, but if you're going to read those passages in a wooden literalistic fashion, the Bible is not a science text. It isn't designed to tell us whether there's sphericity or not. But having said that, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that the Earth is round. And there's nothing in the Bible to suggest that the Earth was flat. And certainly at the time of Columbus, people understood the sphericity of the Earth. So the idea that people used to at that time believe in a flat Earth on the basis of their biblical perceptions is simply wrong. It's just misguided. It's just flat wrong. They didn't. They knew about the sphericity of the Earth.
Yeah. Well, given if there's any theological factor to it, it's still interesting that if there is some science data, to me, which is offered in that particular scripture. So I found that fascinating.
Well,
anyway, thanks for answering my question. Appreciate it, and have a Merry Christmas.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. And I wrote about this whole idea of flat earth mythology in the Creation Answer Book, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. I point out that the moniker flat earth is propaganda, and that this notion that the men who were with Columbus had raw courage in the face of the possible mortal terror of sailing over the edge of a flat earth is simply propaganda. What we're largely unfamiliar with is that far from fanatics clinging to flat earth mythology, unanimous scholarly opinion from Augustine to Aquinas pronounced the earth spherical. Furthermore, the notion that evolutionary man is more enlightened than early man is the vestigial prejudice of Darwinist dogma. And while modern man has an accumulation of knowledge that has produced innovations, the notion that the genius that produced pyramids did not suddenly or suddenly became benighted when they stared at a night sky is simply false. I write about that much more, again, in the Creation Answer Book, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. Back to the phone lines, we'll talk to Nicole, Fort Riley, Kansas. Hi, Nicole.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you. Nice to talk to you.
I have a question. It's more like just need confirmation on something. I was having a debate with one of my friends, and my personal belief, and I know I believe in Jesus, and I believe Jesus is the Son of God, but I believe Jesus is the actual Word of God. And I'll say this, and I'm saying this why I believe this, because I know in the beginning, you know, God created man in His image, and I believe His image, you know, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And I believe that, and when the Bible passages say that the only way through God is through the Son, the Jesus Christ, which is His Word, and when Jesus was born, He was born, I believe that God spoke the words into Mary, and the Son was born.
But that's not what the text says. I mean, if you look at John, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then the text tells us that the Word became flesh. Not only that, but the Word that is described by John is the Word that is described by Paul as the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, the one who is before all things, and all things were created by Him for Him. So He is the creator of all things. He's not a word spoken by God. He is, in fact, God, existed with God in the beginning. Be right back with more.
Over the past decade, the Japanese comic books known as manga have gone from accounting for one-third of a $70 million graphic novel market to claiming almost two-thirds of what is now a $550 million industry. Do you have loved ones absorbed in manga? The latest issue of the Christian Research Journal offers an approach to engage them with biblical truth. To start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more after this. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Through his depiction of death and of something after death, C.S. Lewis has engaged generations of readers at profound levels of mind and soul. The millions of people who have read the seven Narnia Chronicles have received from Lewis's pen a way of thinking about these things that is well worth considering. Other topics include Allah, the Trinity, and divine love, worldviews, thinking and living, the most important institution in the world, and the folly of bumper sticker theology, gross national cool, manga as theological reflection, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. With 2013 quickly winding down, the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is calling on listeners like you to help close a funding gap by the end of the year. Closing this gap by December 31st is vital if we're to continue being here for the hundreds of thousands of listeners just like you who tune in each month, seeking to be equipped with the clear direction of God's truth. With your gift today, you'll be saying you believe in this ministry, helping those who are being led astray by false teaching. Your support is absolutely vital if we are to end 2013 having closed this gap and ready for the new year. So please call 888-7000-CRI with whatever gift God lays on your heart. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Thank you so much for your support. As we come to the end of 2013, CRI must close a funding gap to end this year on target, which will enable us to move into 2014 ready to equip even more people with God's truth. That's why your gift in support of CRI and the Bible Answer Man today is just so important. So please take a moment right now and call 888-7000-CRI with your gift. That's 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy Rick. Back to our phone callers. Next up is Mike, St. Louis, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I've been a Christian for about 15 years, and there's a certain scripture that's in 2 Peter, and it's 2 Peter 1:10, and it says that you should try everything that you can to make your calling and election sure. And I really don't know what that means and how to go about that.
Well, I think you go about that by being what Peter describes in a few verses before that, a partaker of the divine nature or a participant in the divine nature. And that is to recognize the fact that you have not just a changed life, but an exchanged life, an engrafted life, the life of Christ within. And thus, we must be attentive to the indwelling Christ as we move through our human existence. Not only so, but I think as well, to make your election and calling sure, I think it's critical to recognize that we are called to be imitators of Jesus Christ. That's what Paul describes over and over again in his New Testament epistles. It is that we must imitate him only as he imitates Christ. So if Christ often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, we ought to withdraw to lonely places and pray, as it were, or have a secret place where we can have intimate fellowship with God. If Jesus knew the Word of God and deftly wielded the Word of God on the landscape of human existence, we ought to do so as well. If Jesus fasted, we should fast. We should be imitators of Jesus Christ. And if we are imitators of Jesus Christ, then we know of a certainty that we are, in fact, Christians or real followers of Jesus Christ, as opposed to those who simply say they believe. And remember, in the context of the New Testament, there are all kinds of people who said they believed. They were professing believers, but they were not possessing believers because their lifestyle demonstrated that the words they spoke were not words of authority with respect to the content of their lives. So I think this is, in essence, what Peter has in mind in 2 Peter.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, actually. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Diana. She's in Long Beach, California, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Diana.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's so nice to talk to you.
Oh, it's great talking to you as well. I was just wondering if you could share some biblical light on the teachings of a spirit of Jezebel. My biblical observations doesn't show anything that leads to an actual spirit, but more so a characteristic. So you should light on that.
Well, I mean, I think you just did. I think you're right. If you look at 1 and 2 Kings, you have the account of the wicked woman named Jezebel. She was the wife of King Ahab, and she led the nation into great wickedness, including Baal worship. In other words, she was called as the wife of the king to be a light to the nations, but rather she led the nations into prostitution. So this is a metaphor for speaking about rebellious people who behave in the same manner as she did. In other words, they imbibe sexual immorality. They worship idols. They tolerate false teaching. They're involved in blatant sin. This is emblematic, as it were, of what was going on at the Church of Thyatira in Revelation chapter 2. So that's what's in view when that metaphor is invoked.
Okay, so basically, there's no biblical scripture that support anything of a spirit of Jezebel, like a spirit of Jezebel ruling over a person or ruling over a congregation, or.
No, absolutely not. It's exactly as you said in the prologue to your question. It's characteristic of people, but it's not as though they've received some kind of a spirit and now they're not responsible for what they do because it's the spirit of Jezebel that made them do it. I mean, that's what I used to call Flip Wilson theology when people remembered who Flip Wilson was. He used to always quip on television years and years ago, "The devil made me do it." And today we have all kinds of people saying, "You have the spirit of Jezebel," then they have an exorcism. Supposedly the spirit of Jezebel was exorcised out of the person with the attendant benefit that they're not held morally culpable for what they do or did because it was the spirit of Jezebel doing it within them. No, that's not true. It's a characteristic of people who engage in the kinds of things that she did when she was alive.
Okay, great. Thanks so much.
You got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Patrick in Kearney, Nebraska. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I sure can.
Well, Merry Christmas, Hank. How's it going?
Merry Christmas to you, Patrick.
I heard on Bot Radio Network out here in Kearney, one of the preachers was giving his message, and he mentioned something about the devil rebelling in heaven and how God may have created us for that reason, or for something like that. Can you maybe clarify or explain to me what he might have been talking about?
Explain to me one more time what he said.
What's that?
Explain to me one more time what he said.
Let me see here. I seem to remember him saying something like, because the devil rebelled in heaven, God created us.
Oh. There's no biblical warrant for that whatsoever. That's simply false. God created us because he desired fellowship with us. And we were created for that reason with what is called the Imago Dei, or the image of God. Now, in the fall, that image is marred. When we are saved, that image is being systematically restored. And one day in eternity, it will be fully restored so we can do what we were created to do, and that is have intimacy, relationship, and fellowship with God. So the notion that God created human beings because of the devil's rebellion is simply false. There's nothing in the Bible to substantiate that.
Okay. I didn't think so. But I thought I might have somebody with a little more knowledge on it cross-reference it with me. So thanks, Hank. I appreciate that.
You got it. And, of course, God did create Satan and the angels as volitional beings, because that's the only way worship and love has any meaning whatsoever. If Satan had no choice but to love God, love would not have been meaningful again, because, again, for love to be meaningful, it has to be of the will. And we are created in the same way. We're created different than the angels. They're non-physical beings, nonetheless real, obviously, but we are physical beings. We are those who have both a physical aspect to our humanity and a non-physical aspect to our humanity, and we are created in whole to have fellowship with God. And, of course, that's the box top of Scripture. One day soon, what will happen is Jesus Christ will return. And I use that term soon loosely, in that we have no clue when that will happen. But the fact of the matter is, when he does appear again, paradise lost will become paradise restored. And then we will live and have fellowship with God as it was intended, and we will be actualized in our choices and in our relationship with the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Back to the phone lines, Mary, St. Charles, Missouri, listening on KSIV. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Hank. Thank you for taking my question. I have a question about divorced men being elders in the church, divorced men that has remarried, and specifically because of 1 Timothy 3:2. And what do you believe the Bible says on that?
Well, I think that a man who is in leadership, the point of the passage is his affection should be for his wife alone. But I don't subscribe to the notion that God does not use broken vessels. In fact, quite to the contrary, God does use broken vessels. We're all imperfect. And God, by his grace, uses us in our imperfection, and his glory oftentimes shines through that. So the fact that we have made mistakes in our lives does not make us disqualified for service in the Lord's kingdom. But if we are in service in the Lord's kingdom and in a leadership position, then we should be one who demonstrates the qualities of Christ's likeness, and therefore not engaged in polygamy, not being promiscuous, being one whose life is ordered in the manner of being an imitator of Jesus Christ.
So you do believe that the Bible isn't against that? I mean, I'm just looking for...
Well, that's correct. I think that when someone comes to faith in Christ, they must order their lives in Christ's likeness. Otherwise, it's a profession as opposed to a possession, as I mentioned earlier on to a caller. So you need to order your life in such a way that it brings glory to God rather than detracting from the glory of God. And in doing that, you are a partaker of the divine nature, as Peter describes it in 2 Peter chapter 1. In other words, you participate in the divine nature, not in that you become by nature divine, but that you have the engrafted life of Christ within, and that you are an imitator of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that means that you are chaste in your manner as opposed to be promiscuous in your manner. I think that's what's in view here, but I certainly believe that God uses broken vessels.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Appreciate your call. And with that, we're going to call this show to a conclusion. We have about a minute left, and I want to mention again how important it is for you to make your most generous donation as the year winds down so that we can serve the body of Christ in the year 2014. We pray that you'll stand with us prayerfully and financially. We do believe that prayer is firing the winning shot, but God uses means, and you are the means by which this ministry is supplied so that we can take care of the airtime, so that we can minister to the literally millions of people who rely on the resources of the Christian Research Institute all year long. And that is not only in the U.S., it is indeed around the world. And so again, we ask you to give with a grateful heart, not out of compulsion, but give as you've been given in remembrance of the greatest gift of all. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, as always, resource consultants are ready to take your call at 888-7000. And the letters CRI. Again, thank you so much for your prayers and your support. And do remember my free daily e-truth. If you haven't signed up, go to equip.org/e-truth and do so today. The e-truth to your inbox daily. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time with more.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The last few weeks of 2013 are critical for the Christian Research Institute, as we must close a funding gap by December 31st to end this year having fully met our obligations, ready and able to move into 2014. If we are to continue contending for the faith and equipping Christians across America, it is vital we close this gap. That's why we're asking for your help today to close this gap so we can continue working at full strength to equip Christians like you on the issues of our day and counter the lies emanating from our culture. So please call right now, 888-7000-CRI, to give your gift. 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Your help ensures we can continue being there for the hundreds of thousands of people like you who tune in each month. Thank you. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment.
Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Over the past decade, the Japanese comic books known as manga have gone from accounting for one-third of a $70 million graphic novel market to claiming almost two-thirds of what is now a $550 million industry. Learn how to engage with loved ones absorbed in manga with biblical truth. Other topics include what to say when your gay friend says, "I was born this way," Rendezvous with Death, C.S. Lewis on mortality and the afterlife, Breaking Bad's addicting defense of moral realism, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.